Broadcasting from stages 2 and 4 in Burbank, California, let's go Inside Salem on NBC's Days of Our Lives podcast.
On today's show, Eric Martsoff talks about how often he suspends his disbelief for storylines and looks back at Brady's long list of exes. Then, in two can't-miss clips, Nicole and Brady hit the sheets, and Nicole and Gabby get in a catfight. And later, go behind the scenes to Galen Gehring's dressing room with Camila Banos. That and more, starting now. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Michael Fairman. On recent episodes of Days, Brady Black hit the sheets with, in quotes, Nicole, but he can't shake that his reignited thoughts and passion he shared with his former flame, Kristen DeMira, who he and most of Salem believed had died in a warehouse explosion some time ago. But what do you know? Brady was having sex with Kristen as she continues her twisted plot to get back together with the man she lusts after by any means possible, including donning a Nicole Walker mask and pretending to be Susan Banks. Can Brady ever catch a break with the women in his life? To tell us all about that and much more, here's Eric Martsoff. Eric.
Michael.
We have not had our sit down on this podcast
and
yet.
And here we are.
And here we are because there's a lot going on with Brady.
Thank you
right
for
now.
Having an interest in having me and talking about this lovely subject.
So let's just start by how has it been working with Stacey Hajduke and Ariane Zucker in the way this storyline has gone? And what did you think of the whole Nicole masquerade when you got the script about this?
Well, to address your latter question first.
Yes.
You know, I come from a little show called Passion, so I'm not easily surprised when it comes to storyline. I started with witches and little people and bleeding walls and it's just so in my mind anything goes in soaps. So I'm a fan of the craziness. Like bring it on, because I think one of the challenges we have as actors is to make this stuff believable. Just put a sense of reality in it. And the harder it is to believe, I take that on as a challenge. So I was happy about the lunacy of the whole storyline. As far as Stacey and Ariane are concerned, I think that's the biggest love story going on here.
Of the show, yeah.
As far as them personally, together, as a duo, they're so in love with one another. They're practically sisters. If you go downstairs right now, you'll find them hugging. You'll find them laughing. You'll find them all over one another, to the point where I'm a little jealous about the whole thing. I mean, their camaraderie and chemistry is off the charts. But as a result of that, Ari was very much able to get Stacey down in her mannerisms and her wild nature. Stacey's like an untamed... What's untamed, Michael? Like
a lion.
Lion. She's like a lion that's just out of control. Escape from the zoo, running around.
Escape from the zoo. And you're
jumping in the rain and the puddles. And like, oh my God, I'm out. This is wonderful. Because Stacey's so excited to be on the show and to be working and taking on this iconic role. And she's taking it very seriously.
And you've had amazing. You've worked with Eileen Davidson, who the two of you worked together in this. You won an Emmy during that time you were kind of in story with her.
I think Eileen and I win
you
the
won the same year.
Yeah.
You
won that was the a good year for both of us.
Good year for both of you. And then you come and work with Stacey. Was that kind of difficult at first? Or because she kind of stepped right into it and had to go.
They threw her into the fire.
Yeah.
I mean, this was not stick your toes into the swimming pool and see how the temperature of the water is. They were like, here's a mountain of dialogue. You're the center of attention. By the way, you're in the middle of the entire cast. So all eyes are on you. All judgments are being made. And the woman got through it with flying colors. I know that she has the utmost respect for Eileen and what she had done with the character. And she cares every day about getting it right.
So we were all concerned with how Brady was going to once again be duped in the story, because the men seem somehow in the show get to be doofuses and the women kind of manipulate them. I don't know why. I wonder what you think about the dupeness and the doofusness.
It's necessary. I've always said the one recipe, just like chocolate chip cookies has their recipe, you need manipulative women and doofuses around
and
them.
And Brady's doofus meter is
manipulated. Yeah, it's pretty high right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sleeping with a woman that's wearing a latex mask and somehow I can't decipher between one body and the other. So,
yes.
You know, he's got a little superficial issue going on right now, you know. But again, suspend that reality. I take it as a compliment. I say, you know, I see Ron sitting there in front of his computer going, this is a little crazy, but Martzoff will do it. Somehow he'll do it. He won't mind.
And you
at the end of the day, I don't.
You don't.
I laugh it off and commit to it because it's silly and fun to watch at the end of the day. It's like, how could he? And people get frustrated. They're like, how could he not know the difference? I'm like, well, maybe he doesn't.
How did you and Ariane do those scenes? So basically the setup here is, she, you know, Kristen's been trying to figure out how she's going to get him into bed. She's got this mask on. That means Ariane, you did those scenes, right? Like the scenes.
Yeah.
So you have this love scene with Ari, which people are, you know, but she's tricking him. So maybe love scene isn't the word. The dupe scene.
The dupe scene. All right, hashtag dupe scene.
Hashtag dupe scene. And they hit the sheets. And he's in the middle of this. He's thinking something's very familiar with her. And doesn't she turn off the lights or something? I mean, does he have – I'm like, doofus.
I know. I'm with you. I'm on the doofus train,
yeah,
okay. Number one, right. Okay? I'm not justifying his actions. You know, if my wife put on a mask of my neighbor, I wouldn't think I was having sex with my neighbor.
Has she seen this storyline?
Oh, of course.
Okay. What does Lisa
think? She doesn't
bat
an eyelash. She's like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, Eric, what? I'm like, well, isn't this crazy? She's like, yeah, go do it. That's your gig, man. You know, it's cool. And so she's right.
Yeah.
And I commit, and it's fine. But as far as those scenes are concerned, yes. She's very strategic in that way. She's like, oh, let's turn off the lights because I don't want you to see my burn marks, particularly where the tattoo was removed. This is the extent that Kristen DiMera goes.
Right.
She has her tattoo removed of the phoenix on her shoulder, and she uses that scarring as a way of saying, oh, don't touch me, Derek, because I have scars. It's not the same body that you remember. She plants the seed. Mm-hmm. My body is not the same. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, he's not expecting that, and he's being very weary of and sensitive about touching her in the beginning. Turn off the lights. I don't want you to see me. I'm like, you're beautiful. It doesn't matter. I'd be more comfortable if you had the lights off, Brady. So she sets this whole thing up. But then he starts having these images of Kristen all of a sudden. So much so, he feels the need to tell Nicole about these images, which as a man, couldn't imagine.
Saying that to another woman, like, right, you're...
Babe, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thinking about that waitress over at Olive Garden that served you those breadsticks tonight. I'm like, no, you need to know. We don't need that much honesty in our marriage, okay?
But he's got to tell her
because he's just feeling her. He's thinking about her. Every time he touches Nicole, quote unquote, he sees Kristen. So can you imagine? I mean, first of all, the guilt associated with that, like, girl, I'm thinking about another woman.
I mean, well, her reaction is like,
well, of course you're thinking about Kristen Burt. I don't mind that you're thinking about her. You shared something very special. And then she just ices the cake even more. And she's like, yeah, I mean, the things that you shared and the love that you had, and it's great. She just plants the seed and the tree just grows in Brady's head.
I think this is one of the kinkiest stories, having sex with a prosthetic mask.
It is kinky. Yeah, it's kinky. But I will tell you, I'll give you a little spoiler in the sense that the technology of this mask apparently is off the charts, and it comes from a particular source that the show will be familiar with. But this guy's good.
I heard all of you tried it on at one point or another. With the mask going around the studio?
That's inaccurate. No, I never tried on that mask. Okay. I don't know where some of these people have been. I don't know. There weren't enough moist towelettes in the makeup room.
So Brady and Chloe, we at one point thought they were going to rekindle their relationship.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Did you think that would happen? And then he confided in her about his plans to take down DiMera, right?
He does. And just to address the Brady-Chloe thing,
yes.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought that they were definitely going in that direction. They were going to give this a shot. These lovely bro-y fans out there, they've
bro-y.
Been waiting a long time.
They're mad, bro-ies.
And Kyle and Nadia, you know, cultivated this from the very beginning. And Nadia and I always thought it would be really beautiful to come back around and see it. But as we know, it was not written that way. And Brady was kind of painted more of a stalker than anything.
I know.
Like, I'm stalking my ex-wife, which is... You know, who knows? But that was the way it was done. So they've still maintained a friendship through all of it, obviously. And Brady decides to go to his ex-wife and just pretty much
tell her
open up his entire bag of bones and say, yeah, listen, I'm sleeping with this chick, but I'm thinking about this other. woman, can you help me out here?
And what is she? And she's like, oh.
Oh, Brady, that's very interesting. Like, you freak, get out of my restaurant. What's wrong with you? No, she, in true Salem form, she's there for her friend. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, I think you need to tell Nicole about this, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right.
Now, can you name all the women Brady has had a relationship with? Because they haven't worked out. But if we go back in time, since you've been on the show.
Let me give it a shot.
Oh, let's do it.
Chloe.
Yep.
Nicole.
Yeah.
Melanie. Ariane. Madison. Eve. Why did I stop there?
I think that's...
Kristen. I think I got them all.
You said Teresa.
Ooh! Jen, I hope you're not listening to this.
Jen,
I love
Lily,
you so much. Yeah.
Teresa. Don't blame Teresa. Wasn't
she's been in California for so long with my son.
Which what would you think if I want to know what your reaction would be? What happens if you get a script or are told, Eric, we're bringing back Tate. We've sourced him. He's now 18. How would you feel? Would you be like, I am not.
No, I got to say.
They could do that.
I got to say.
You could have an 18-year-old Tate. I don't know any of these people. I'm just.
Well, you know, in true soap opera classic fashion, they do that all the time. On little Ethan on Passions, he was little one summer, and then in the fall, he was huge. I mean, he literally went through puberty in like a month, which actually is not too unrealistic because I'm living with, you know, teenage twin boys right now. I'm watching them just blossom. But I would embrace that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. And you have twins.
I do.
And one of them is now in a movie.
Yeah.
What's going on with that show? I love it. Yeah. Okay.
Both of us are filming this little Netflix film called To the Beat 2, Back to School or something like that. And I did the original like a couple years ago with Marie Wilson and Lily Melgar and Jillian Clare, who played the original Abigail, I believe. She was one of the Abigails
at one point.
She's directing the thing.
So your son.
He plays the little heartthrob of my younger daughter. He doesn't have any lines. He just sits around and she like just dreams about him. And she like sees him in school and he just kind of.
Have you given him any acting tips?
He had to do his first slow dance with this girl and it was hers as well. So it was the most beautiful, most uncomfortable, awkward, lovely little thing you've ever seen. So I actually put him in the hands of my wife, who's a ex-dancer, choreographer. And I have this whole video of her teaching him how to slow dance with a girl. And it's pretty precious.
Aww.
But I just told him to go be yourself. I said, the biggest weapon you have as an actor, dude, is you. Is you. Don't try to be someone that you think is cool. Don't try to be some actor that you saw in some Avengers movie. Go in there and be authentic and just be yourself.
Has he watched you on the show, on Days of Our Lives?
He has. It's become a lot less awkward, too, because now they kind of understand.
What's going on?
It was harder in the beginning.
How did you explain this mask, though?
Dad, my brother and I want to know why you're cheating on mom with 8 different women. And one of them wears a Halloween mask. What? Dad, does mom know about this kinky
story.
Nature
it's
of yours?
It's not Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brady's relationship with Gabby, it kind of kicked off this entire revenge and seemingly love story with her and Stefan.
Yeah. It's kind of a strange little matchmaker thing in a weird way.
Yeah, he's kind of twisted.
He convinces Gabby to go off on this devious plan. Gabby buys it. She's like, yeah, this could work. This could work. But obviously her intentions now are completely in question because did she really want the company or did she actually really want Stefan all along? But they love, soap operas love this antagonistic, beginning to a relationship. But you got to hate each other before you love each other.
Hate breeds love, apparently.
And I guess that's fun to watch. But at the same time, I'll tell you what, that's why I always liked Brady and Melanie's relationship. Because they were such good friends for years. Or what seemed to be years. Before they dove into the uncomfortable, well, maybe we should be something more. It was a natural progression of friendship, which led to romance, which I thought was cute.
What is his deal with Titan and where he sees himself in business? And does he feel he has to be duplicitous Brady to get ahead? Because like all of a sudden he's being a good guy and then he takes another dark turn. Do you ever question like what is going on with my character?
Yeah. He acts out of impulse too much, which addicts tend to do. They don't think it through. They kind of act first and then think about it later. And he does that a lot. I think that's interesting to watch, but he's not the most rational guy.
But what's his goal in all this? Does he have a goal?
I think contentment, to finally get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he will one day, but in the meantime, it's a lot of fun watching him stumble along the way, because it is about the journey. That's why we're celebrating, 52, 53 years on the air, because this whole thing it's an ongoing train. It doesn't settle down and stop. And I think Brady is one of those characters that has just been written as just the wild mongoose running around, just trying to catch a snake. You know?
And where is he at with his brother now?
Where did that analogy come from?
I don't know.
The wild mongoose catch the snake.
Hashtag.
I like that.
Where is he at with Eric, his brother at this point?
Talk about
That's
a roller coaster.
Like their fight. I mean, every time I tune in every 3 months, there's a fist fight.
Yeah.
But I thought it was okay, and now it isn't. And so what?
Well, there's an issue that pops up about with Nicole.
Right.
What do you mean you're sleeping with Nicole? You know? And he pushes me across the Horton Square. I'm like, what, really? What are we, children? I don't know. It's a very tumultuous sibling relationship, which a lot of people have.
Well, thanks, Eric. Are you ready to dive into some can't miss clips? Let's do that.
Show me the water.
Show me the water. Let's dive in.
Here's your can't miss clip for the week of August 5th. At long last, Nicole, quote unquote, finally gets Brady into bed. Good thing. In the morning, Kristen fantasizes about revealing herself to him, but she holds back. Meanwhile, Brady awakens and tells her that something was different about their time together. Wonder what it is. In another room, Kate is a bundle of nerves, revealing to Tony that Stefan is not who she's most afraid of. He offers to help her, but needs to know more information. Take a listen to what happened next.
Tony, I was lying when I told you that Stefan was the one who's kidnapped us. You're gonna find this hard to believe, but it was your sister. Kristen is alive.
You knew part of my heart belonged to Eric.
Yeah, I always knew.
But not anymore. If things felt different with me, it's because now I'm yours. All of me. My body. My mind. My soul.
All right. Ooh. Pretty juicy, but you know Tony is full of it. He is in cahoots with her, Kristen. He's full of crap. He's back and forth.
Yeah. I love it. She's lying. She's like, really?
Those Demiras.
No,
yeah.
What are you talking? They are duplicitous.
Duplicitous people.
Or are they just people just trying to find a bone as well?
Oh, I don't know. They've gone to great lengths.
Are they villains? Is
yes,
Kristen
they
redeemable?
Are.
At this point, I think anybody's redeemable.
Yes, on soap operas, anybody's redeemable.
Like, Kristen never killed anybody. It's not like she's a serial killer.
Right, you pointed that out to me.
She never killed anybody.
I want to talk about this scene where your Brady is in the afterglow with Nicole, quote unquote.
Well, that afterglow is going to turn into glow.
I just thought, wouldn't he have noticed the part of the prosthetic mask that's around her neck where you rip it off?
No,
because the
technology behind the glue is like nothing you've ever seen before. This is not something you use to put a coffee mug back together when it breaks.
I see.
This is epidermal, super duper Gorilla Glue.
So it looks so natural.
Yes, and Brady's blinded by love as well.
At that point,
he can't see the little tag.
That's right in front of him.
Yeah.
So at that point when he's with her, is he thinking this is the greatest thing ever? Because, what's
maybe he thinks she has eczema or whatever. It's just like a little bit of dry skin. That'd be great. I should add the line. Can I get you some cocoa butter? Because I think your skin's a little dry.
You have eczema too.
Yeah.
It's a little different than I remember.
You should come to my dermatologist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you asking?
I was asking, is he at that moment, like in the throes of, like, this is the greatest thing, I just had the greatest sex, or what's he thinking right there with that clip?
I think he's falling into Nicole's eyes. I mean, they've been together before. They've shared love before. They're no strangers to one another. Mm-hmm. I think that he believes her.
What do you think his reaction is going to be when we see that he figures out what's going on?
Well, that'll be interesting. I mean, I know the answer to that question. I know you do. I think the audience will be surprised as to what his reaction will be. I think obviously there's going to be some surprise and shock, but the direction in which he takes is interesting. Yeah.
Here's your Can't Miss clip for the week of August 12th. With Gabby on a mission to clear Stefan's name, Xander changing his story, and Ben, Sierra, and Kate searching her hotel room, the walls are closing in on Kristen. Confident, she remains fixated on taking over Demira. Stefan convinces Shin to put off meeting with Nicole. Furious over being stood up, Nicole heads to the Demira mansion to confront Gabby. They fight, and all is revealed.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Look, I get it. I know you want to get revenge, but you have taken this way too far, Nicole. Okay, I am not going to let you steal Demira, and I'm not going to let you frame Stefan for a crime he didn't commit.
And I'm not going to let you ruin this for me.
Let go, Nicole! What are you crazy? Oh my God! Let go! Oh. No! Oh. What? What is this, a wig? Oh my God! Kristen?
I love a good female mud wrestling match.
Me too. Dude, all I was missing was Jell-O.
The Jell-O and the mud.
Woo!
That is an amazing scene.
That's pretty fun.
And how great was Stacey? She's just like her reaction. Like,
oh my God.
Can you listen?
Yeah. Oh my God. You're my mascot.
That was pretty great.
How was Gabby able to figure everything out? I need to take some classes.
Yes, I think the Gabby Hernandez School of
She had it all figured out. She's just rattling it off.
The Gabby Hernandez School of Revenge. That's where
that
he
was
needs
pretty
to go.
Impressive.
Yeah, she's got it. Yeah,
and that's the moment. Wow. Yeah. So Gabby knows.
Yeah. So then, do you think Brady will soon find out after?
Why doesn't Gabby just take out her cell phone and be like, "Hi, Brady"?
Well, I would, if I was her, I would have taken. I don't, take photos of everybody here. Does she do that?
Oh, there's a match. Yeah. Okay, Instagram. Just found out.
But that's really exciting. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, it's a fun review.
Yeah, I think people are going to be like very excited about that.
Yeah, if you're not excited about that, you don't know soap opera.
You don't know
soap
opera.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
But as exciting as that scene is, what's coming up is ridiculous.
So there's more to come.
We're just scratching the surface. Even though Gabby knows and we have that revelation, that just leads to
bombshells to come.
Yeah, no, you don't want to tune out at this point.
Oh my God, you hear that, everybody? Okay, all right. Thank you, Eric, so much for being part of the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And make sure to watch him on streaming episodes of Days of Our Lives on NBC.com and the NBC app.
Part 2 of Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast will return in a moment. Subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcasts. We now return to Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast to take a look behind the scenes.
Hello, everybody. This is Galen Gehring. I play Ray Fernandez on Days of Our Lives, and welcome to my podcast from my dressing room, my home away from home. I got to say, my dressing room's seen some ups and downs. It was a real stink pit before I moved in, but it was a good room. So I had, like, good bones. So I set about, it had this nasty carpet, furniture was really gross. And so I put down these fake hardwood floors with the guy, Adam, who sadly is no longer here. He was in wardrobe. He was awesome. So we set about cutting these floors one day and put them down. And I've got pictures all over of my family. And actually, the floors that are in here now aren't the original ones because we are in the basement and it flooded. And so those floors got ruined. And so these are subsequently newer floors that are here. And they're actually, I think they're nicer than the original ones. So that was pretty cool. They're certainly more professionally installed. So with that said, I also have pictures in my room of mi familia, and even have a picture from Camila Banús, which she painted and I framed, and it's up there. And probably a little dusty right now, so sorry about that, sis. I really do need to do a little housekeeping. I've got some black and white photos of my friend's band Incubus and a cool Red Hot Chili Peppers poster, The Clash, Jane's Addiction, and some pictures I've taken from my travels, Death Valley, skiing, excuse me, Hawaii, and in the snowboarding in the mountains of Canada. And I'm sitting on the couch, which I had. There it is. Listen to that. Couch that was in my dressing room at Passions, which I moved over here. And so that about sums it up. Oh, there's this little table which I stole from the hallway one day, which is pretty cool. And that's it. So yeah, this is it. This is where the magic goes down. So lots of studying time, watching TV. I've also got in here lots of fan stuff. I've got a box full of fan letters, which I love and read daily, because they're like, if I'm ever feeling down, I just read a fan letter, and then I'm like, wow, people like me. I've got pictures. I've got books of pictures. There was this thing called traveling pants, and so I had these pants that went all around the country, and so they took pictures, and those are here, and I've got some other framed pictures from soap cruise, which are hilarious. God, what else?
Yeah, that's there?
Oh, that's you knocking. Is that you, sis?
That was me knocking. Hey,
what's up?
My, are you busy?
Nah, I'm just doing this podcast thing. You want to join in?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, cool. Here, have a seat.
Oh, hey.
On my couch.
Oh,
can nice. Can I introduce? This is my dear sister. Hey, what's up, sis?
Hey, what's up, everybody in Galen's podcast world? This is Camila Banús playing Gabriela Hernandez on Days of Our Lives.
Weedeep. Yeah. So welcome to my room.
Thanks.
Sorry, I didn't clean it. I didn't know you were coming. So
I actually love being in your room. It's probably one of the best rooms Aww. In all of the studio.
And what's that?
Well, yeah, you are pointing at a little drawing I made for you almost like 7 years ago, I believe. But yes, it still exists. And thank you. I appreciate you framing that up for me. It touched my heart in Aww. The best ways ever possible.
Well, thank you for drawing it for me. It's really cool.
Yeah, well, I remember one day you walked into my room and you were like, oh my gosh, you drew that? And I was like, yeah, I draw sometimes when I need to relax. And you're like, oh, well, you should draw me one, because I would totally put it up. And I was like, really? And so I did, like, literally that night.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was 19 and I was like, okay, sure, let's do it.
You had so much energy and you needed to relax.
Yeah. So I did it. And then you literally framed it like the next week. And I was like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, this is so cool. But I have to tell the world that the coolest thing in your room is not that.
Which is?
The coolest thing in your room exists.
Me?
No.
No. Okay.
The coolest room exists next to your sink. And I remember for the longest time, I was like, should I ask him what it is? Should I not ask him what it is? It's weird. Is it a Santa Claus? Is it not a Santa Claus?
Oh.
And so then one day I was like, Galen, why do you have a Santa Claus hanging on your wall, man? Do you really like Santa Claus? Like, what is it? And he says, that's not Santa Claus. That's me. And I was like, what do you mean that's you? And he's like, yeah, somebody made a cast of my face and like shrunk or something. Mm-hmm. And like, it's literally a cast of my face. And I put it up there. And then somebody else put a Santa Claus.
Yeah. Like if they were, if I were like one of those shrinky dinks and they put me in the oven and I were to shrink down, I'd look like that guy.
It was the coolest thing because it was Galen Gehring as a shrunken head.
Without the beard.
It was awesome.
So this was from Passions, when I was on Passions, and they, I'm pretty sure I did twice. So one time I played an old man and they had, now I'm just old, so they don't even need to do the thing. And so they just, they basically like do this plaster of Paris thing. It's this whole involved process. And then they create basically a mask, a real mask of your face. And this is part of the
process.
Yeah, the thing that they put the, I don't know how
it's
it works,
so weird,
obviously.
Because it's a shrunken head, so you would think they would do it to size, you know, so it could then go on his face.
Well, no, I do have a, there's a big, I have a big one at my house that's like
even
a bust.
Creepier!
And my wife's tried to throw it away many times.
Please, Jenna?
And I'm like, dude, that's, I mean, she thinks it's really creepy too.
It is, but so, any person would, except for you, because it's your face. But yes, that to me is one of the coolest things, definitely, that I've seen in Kaylin. I know. I didn't want you to move it.
Take it easy. So what else is up, sis? Those were fun scenes today.
Yeah, it's always fun when we get to do sibling scenes together.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish we could tell everyone what they were about.
I know.
And what's going on.
I know.
Although they probably know from history that whatever it is, it's you're like into something bad because you always are.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. And you know, history repeats itself.
So. Yep. And then who's got to bail you out? Big bro.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're there.
Yeah. What up?
Well, I definitely have a really close relationship and a special relationship with Galen. I think a lot of the fans, they tell us all the time that they love when we have scenes together. And mm-hmm. I think the reason why is because they can tell that we vibe off each other really well. And like, even when we have like rehearsals and stuff like that, we'll be like messing around and saying like the kind of like the idea of the scene, but we know we're going to like say it correctly once we get up there. But you know, it just, it's always been really fun. And so I think that that really projects through to the other side of the TV screen. And I think that's why people love to watch us together. I mean, that's the whole point. Like, I sit down with him, we're always laughing. And I'm at this point, I'm like, can we get a little bit of work done?
Right, right. Well, I always know too, though, that in fact, when I've looked back and like looking at Emmy reels or whatever, like some of my favorite scenes are with you. A lot of them aren't like this, like super high stake scenes, but they're so free and fun. Like, they don't really just seem like acting. They seem like real life. And,
real relationships.
And that's, yeah, exactly. Like, you're doing a thing, I'm reacting off that, you're reacting off what I'm doing. And it's alive. They're alive. So thank you for that, by the way. I've loved it. I'm high fiving right now.
I think it comes with a level of like confidence because
trust.
Yeah. And I mean, we're both very professional, but when you can be professional with somebody and you have the confidence, it's not like everybody behind the scenes is worried that we're not going to get it right or that we're just like playing around. No, they know that once, you know, like once we're rolling, it's rolling. But that's the cool part about it, that because we've played so much with it, it's so light. You know, the scene doesn't feel so over rehearsed or whatever you want to call it.
Right, right. So I was just thinking back about when you first started on the show and how it was, you know, it was funny in that, like, you didn't really have a big narrative. You really hadn't, you know, evolved into the woman / sort of Salem troublemaker that you are now. And just funny to think back on it because now I just really see you as that troublemaker.
Yeah, because it's been such a long time. I feel like we, as a brother and sister, have had such a crazy evolution on the show.
Right.
Not only as like brother and sister, but like as a family, we've had so many different people come and go, whether it's other siblings, whether it's parents or whatever the situation
Guaraches.
Is. Guaraches.
Guaraches. Yeah, well, those days seem like so long ago with the Guaraches. And when you're, I mean, that wasn't even that long ago, but when you were just like an innocent sister and then you blew up the town. And then I feel like that was like the turning point when like you blew up the town. That definitely impacted people's lives. And,
this is true, but
and
you
changed.
Know, people make mistakes.
Well, yeah, and I bail you out, and you're incarcerated for a while for killing Nick. And but whatever, you know, he deserved it.
You know,
don't mess with my girl.
Someone told me today that during this podcast I should throw you on the bus. I feel like you're throwing me under the bus.
How am I throwing you under the bus? These were monumental things that happened in your storyline and affected Salem and all of us.
But that's the cool part about our evolution, that we're a family that has one of the strongest like family core values. Like, there are families on this show that really hate each other. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They can really hate each other. I never
gave up on you.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can hate me, but you will always be there for me regardless of if I kill somebody or not.
I feel like you should be more honest with your brother based on all the love and support that he has shown you, that maybe there's like still, you know, like I always have to sort of look and see, check in with you. Maybe you're telling me all of the truth. I know you're honest. It's just, am I getting the full story?
Galen, personally, I would love that. Let's talk to the writers.
All right, fair enough. Because that would be cool too if you had to tell me some things in confidence, knowing that maybe they were illegal and that I couldn't tell anyone. And then I'd have this like conflict.
I used to do that. And you know what happened? I had to stop telling you things because you kept telling them to the damn police.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Fair enough. All right. Okay. What I do want to say, whether or not you're going to tell me your like innermost character secrets or what's going on in the story, is I am grateful to have you as my sister. I love it and I revere it. And I think that we got some great stuff coming up.
Oh, that really melts my heart. Thank you for saying that, Galen. I have to say that I have been very lucky to have been made Rafe's sister, not only in Days of Our Lives, but in real life as well.
Aww.
Because I could not have somebody better and funnier and kinder to just kind of give me the ropes, but with no real like stress. You know, with you, it's always been very easy. So I'm very appreciative and I love you very much. And you know that I love Gabby and Rafe. I think they're really important to our show. And I think that Latinos in general are really important to our show. So I'm really happy that we're here. And I'm really happy that the fans enjoy our storylines.
Well, thank you for that too. And also, thank you for always helping me with my Spanish.
Oh yeah.
I mean, teasing me a little, but definitely helping me. And yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. So I guess with that said, it's time to get the hell out of my room because we're both done for the day.
And you know that I'm the only one posting pics of both of us on Instagram. So you can follow me at Camila.
Oh yeah. And you can follow me at G Gehring. That's G-G-E-R-I-N-G.
That's
money. What? No. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming.
Let's go have some lunch.
Get out.
Okay.
Bye. Bye, Felicia.
Coming up on Days of Our Lives, Brady confesses to Eric that he and Nicole are back together.
I didn't do what you're saying I did. She actually came after me, Eric.
Marlena replays her strange encounter with Nicole.
I think she's unstable, and I have no idea what she might be capable of doing.
Roman reluctantly goes along with Anna's plan.
I need to know how far you plan on taking this bruise.
As far as I have to.
Kristen is finally exposed.
Excuse me, what are you doing?
Days of Our Lives, stream anytime on NBC.com and the NBC app.
This has been Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast. Subscribe on all major podcasting platforms. Follow the show at NBC Days. Theme music by Tom Boyce and Bobby Hart. Produced by Grant Rutter and Michael Fairman. Edited by Trey Booty. This is Melissa Reeves. Join us again for another episode of Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast.